we find ourselves coming to an end of another year. Yeah. Yes. Well, today we're going to be in 3 John here today. It's not a book that's usually preached on a whole lot, but we're going to attempt to do that today. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've ever received a letter and anticipated receiving a letter from someone that you really cared about. I'm not talking about girlfriend, boyfriends in high school and all that kind of stuff, but I'm talking more like there's two recipients, I believe, two that I know of that letters mean really a lot to them. One is the military when they're overseas or far away. Their families are good. They're separated from their families, and they are in a different situation in their life. And those letters really mean a lot to them. They just mean a lot. Another is those who are in prison. Those people who are in prison, they make mistakes, they've done some things, and they are there for whatever reason has put them there that they've done. But it doesn't mean that we throw them away, but that we are called to love them. And the piece for that is that those letters that they receive are also important. But believe me, whatever you write, they will read before the person gets the letter. Most letters are actually copied in prison so that they know what's being said, and making sure that ink doesn't have things on it and those paper doesn't have things on it that it shouldn't have. But letters are very important to people, very important to those in the military, very important to those who are incarcerated in prison, in jail, very important to people. But it's also, letters also very important to people that when you get a letter from someone that you respect. We sometimes might say it's a letter of reference, but when it becomes a personal letter, it becomes very, very important to us. And I think today we kind of got out of the, this is the way life is. Now it's more like we send texts or emails, and it doesn't seem to be as personal. But if you want to make an impact with somebody, get out a piece of paper, get out a pen, and write a letter and send it. And you will find out that has impact, more impact than you think. And today, I think people are struggling with relationships, friendships. We're struggling with friendships. A lot of people are even in churches that are lonely. Some people come into church and they will speak to people for the few hours, the hour that they're here. And for the rest of the week, that's the most people that they'll ever talk to. So I think we live in a time when people are lonely and need a friendship and need friends in our lives. But today I want to look into 3 John here. This is a letter, very short letter, but we're going to read this letter today because it's very encouraging. It's a letter of encouragement, but it's a letter that's not written to a group of people. It's not written to a group or just 3 or 4 people. It's written to one person. This is an intimate, personal letter written to a person that the writer is none other than the Apostle John. Amazing to have a letter written by someone like that. And God gives it to us in His Word. So we're going to read here. We're going to read a little bit of it. We're going to work through it a little bit. And before we do, I just want to pray. Father, Lord, open our hearts, Lord, and our ears to hear and to see what You would have for us, that we may grow in our walk with You. And in this time, Lord, give it to us that we may be receptive to what Your Spirit speaks to us. And Your Word, in Christ's name, amen. So it says in 3 John, it says here in verse 1, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and you are in good health, just as your whole life is going well. For I am very glad when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity to the truth. But you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What a great beginning to this letter here. And he calls him friend twice. He calls him friend twice. And Gaius is the receiver of this letter. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes the letters that we do get and receive from people are not always good. They're not always good. And we don't want everybody to hear. We do not want people to hear that. This is a letter that we don't want anybody to hear. This is one that God chose to put it out so that we can all hear. That we all can peek into this moment, in this history moment, where this letter speaks of a person. The Apostle John speaks about a person. And what does he say? He says, one, he says, I'm praying for you. That you know when you are like a mentor, you're going to be praying for those that you are working with. You need to be praying for others. And so we see here, this is a way of saying that John's saying, I am praying for you. He says, I pray that you are prospering in every way. We should be praying for those around us, that their life is prospering. When people are seeking a job, we should spend some minutes, a moment, and be praying for them. We should spend time with other people's life as well. But he says here, he says, in every way you are in good health, just as your life is going well. He knows that his life is going well, that Gaius' life is doing pretty well. But he says, I was very glad to hear when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity to the truth. But he's saying, listen, I got people that come to me and talk to me all the time, but your name is coming up again and again. And it is that you are staying on the true path. You are staying loyal to the truth. And the truth being God's word. He is being loyal to that. So he's being commended for that. And here it is. Don't commend, don't tell other people what you're doing. Don't try to commend yourself. John's getting this and sharing this with Gaius, that other people are testifying about Gaius's life. That's when you know that you're doing, is when other people are commending how you're living your life. Not you go out and tell it, but other people will testify about you and your life and how you're living it. But he says, it's how you are walking in the truth. That's what he commends him about. That's what he's excited to hear people testify about. And he closes this little piece here. There's no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And he calls them children because he's a brother in Christ and he's kind of a mentor, kind of working with him. He's met him a few times, I'm sure. And he is like, feels like a father to this guy, Gaius. But also look at this piece, and as you read it, you may also know that you as a believer that have adult children, their children are not living for the Lord. It is once you have come to Christ in your life and you are a parent and you have kids, you begin to pray for them before they're even born. And you will pray for them on the day that they are born. And as a father, you will go to their crib in the middle of the night and you will pray a blessing over them. You will pray for protection over your family. As a spiritual leader of your home, you will pray and you won't stop praying for the protection of your family, for the safety of your family, for the spiritual growth of your family. But there comes times when these children, they grow up and they become adults and they go out and do their thing called life, and they don't always stick with the Lord there. They kind of go off in left field and they go in other directions. And here it is, there's no greater joy than when your children are living for the Lord. But it also is, there's no greater sadness when your children are not living for the Lord. But we know this. We continue to pray for our children. We pray for our adult children that they will find their way back. And we begin to reread the story of the prodigal son. We reread those stories and scriptures that we know that God still loves them just as much, but he actually loves them more than we love them. So we pray that they will come back into the fold, that they will find their way and journey themselves back to God. But there is no greater joy than when you know that your children are living for the Lord. There's no greater joy than to know as a pastor that the church, that the people are living for God. Amen. I can tell you that it is always a joy to see, as me and Phil and maybe sometimes other leaders were looking across, seeing who might be fit this position. And we talk about the growth of this person. We talk about the spiritual growth of that person. And it's so exciting sometimes to know that we see some that are growing in their walk in the Lord. And as a blessing to us, it's a blessing to the church. And then we also pray for those that need to continue to grow in their walk with the Lord, which is all of us. Amen. But then he goes on in the letter. He says, dear friend. Again, he says, dear friend. That's an amazing piece. Dear friend, I long to hear. It's hard for me to, I know Abraham, God says that they were friends. The scripture talks about Abraham and God being friends. But it's hard to put yourself in that spot sometimes. But isn't it going to be good to see Jesus? It's not going to be reading this letter, all these letters and all these books. It's going to be great to see him in person. But here it is. He says, "Dear friend, you are acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well and send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name," that meaning God, "accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we can be co-workers with the truth." Here again, he calls him friend and he says, you're acting faithful. He's once again commending Gaius's faithfulness, his truthfulness, his walk in the Lord. Now, what's going on here? This didn't happen in one moment. This happened throughout the past. So we see that he has a past, and it sounds like this is pretty kind of within a year, and so something like that, where he's got these testimonies about how he's living, all the things that he's doing, he's being commended for his walk with the Lord and truth. And so what we see here is he's being commended for a year, for this year or so that he's been living. It's a good thing, because some of us could say that, wow, this last year, I didn't live so good for God. I didn't live so well for God. I kind of struggled. I was in places I shouldn't have been. I've done some things I shouldn't do. But here Gaius is being commended for his lifestyle. He says, "They have testified to your love before the church." It's like, is this guy the perfect Christian? No, but he is what we should strive to be in many forms, in many ways, being commended for the love that he has for the church and for acting faithfully in whatever the brothers and sisters of the church need. So that he's being commended for these positive things that, not that he's just doing today, but that he's been doing in the past. And so I want to remind you that your past is where you are sometimes in the future. It's all kind of together at times. Because why? How is that to be? Because it's our life. It's what we live. It becomes us. But we need to let the good outshine the bad. We need to let our walk with the Lord shine bright in our life. But he says, "Since they have set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans, therefore we ought to support such people so that we can be co-workers with the truth." He's saying, listen, This part here is, he's like, you can just kind of tell that in the past, he's probably been given to some things financially. He's been taking care of some things financially with some of the people that need and for these ministry pieces. And there he says, therefore, we ought to support such people. And if he may not be the one giving it, he may be the one in charge of kind of the funds, whatever it may be. John's saying we ought to support such people. We ought to support. And having a letter from John, the Apostle John, with that asking had been a very powerful piece. Sometimes when one person asks someone to do something, they don't do it. But when someone does something or asks someone to do something, that person asks them to do something, when their walk is in the Lord, it comes with some authority, they do it. Why is that? Well, sometimes our walk, when we walk into a room, sometimes our character, when we walk into a room, people you know, you don't even have to say anything. Your character of who you are is already speaking. When you walk into that room, your character already has shouted out your name and all the things about you. People know. And some people will gravitate towards you, and some people will gravitate away from you. It's just the way it is. We should strive to live for the Lord. This is a great letter. But it seems like in every letter that we read in God's Word, there's something negative. I think it's because we live in a broken world. I think we live in a broken world because we're broken people. So there's a switch in the letter. All this has been commending Gaius for how he's doing ministry, how he's living his life, and what he's been doing, what's been going on with him, how he supports, all those things. It's all good. But he also says this, verse 9, "I wrote something to the church." So Paul says, John says, "I wrote something to the church." A different letter. "But Diotrephes, who loved to have first place among them, does not receive my authority." So now we have a problem in the letter. Now John is saying, I sent a letter to the church, There's somebody in the church that's not receiving my authority. I'm calling it out. Okay? He says, verse 10, this is why if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing. This is not what a leader, a preacher, a pastor wants to get involved in, but sometimes they have to. I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome fellow believers, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. This piece here is Paul, I keep saying Paul, John puts this piece in here so that Gaius will know what's going on, that he knows about it. Then maybe Gaius can maybe take care of some of this if he can take care of it. But he says, if I'm coming, I'm going to take care of business. Folks, sometimes church is messy. And sometimes it's real messy. And sometimes it can get nasty. And then people go, oh, I want to leave the church because of this, because of that. I'm going to leave it. Listen, you don't leave churches because there's this or that. You need to make sure you know why you're leaving. So many people leave churches and don't even know why. This is a problem. This is a problem. There's an individual in the church that's not accepting any authority but his own. And he says, he's pushing people out of church. He's expelling people out of church. He's trying to take over the church. It's pretty much what it looks like. And he stops people from wanting to do things for the Lord. This guy is probably a work of darkness inside the church. And John calls it out. And Gaius hears it now. Now, we don't know, but we can probably assume that Gaius is going to take this to the elders of the church. Hey, if we don't take care of this, John's coming. When John comes, it's even going to be tougher. So, but the letter doesn't stop. There's another person that's mentioned. Let's look at this. Different. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. Here is the commending piece again that John is telling Gaius. All right, I told you what you did. All the stuff that you did were great. In your past and in your present. But he's also saying, you got to keep going. You have to keep going. Everyone is different. Do not imitate what is evil. Do what is good. Okay? That's what he's been doing. He's been doing what is good. Don't imitate what this guy's been doing, but do what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. What does Gaius know what to do? He knows what to do is good. What he's been doing is good. And so he needs to continue to do what is good. And sometimes we may not think what we're doing in the church is really important, but if you're doing the good thing and you're the right thing, you're doing the best thing. You're doing the good thing. Yeah. If you see a visitor come in the church and somebody's sitting in your seat, you think it's your seat, you just find another seat, right? You find another. Listen, I speak in different churches. You would not know how many times, especially toward the front. I usually sit toward the front because I'm a guest speaker. I usually sit off to the side so that I can make my way to the steps an easier way than all the way in the back and take all that time and all that. But you would not believe how many times I have seen people get upset for somebody sitting what they call in their seat. You would think that would be gone. But it's usually, and so many times it's not the people that are like young new believers. It's believers who should know better. It's the believer who's been coming to church, who's been a believer for a long time. For somehow we must think these chairs are ours. Maybe it was a thing of the past where they used to put names on pews, and they did. People would buy a pew for the church, and that would be their family pew. But we don't do that. We don't do that today. But people do get upset with that. We see even the smallest things can be a detriment. But he is called to say, John is saying, do what is right. Do the good thing. Don't do as this guy. But he says this. Everyone, verse 12. Now, in those days, letters were not put in the mailbox and the flag stuck up. They weren't drive down to the post office and throw it in a box. You had to give it to somebody. Usually that person had to be somewhat in shape, probably a younger person, or if you wanted to be snail mail, like really slow, you can give it to an older person. They'll eventually get there, right? But if you want to give it to somebody usually like a young, fast, a runner, somebody that was able to travel. And so he says, everyone speaks well of Demetrius, even the truth itself. And we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. That's all we know. But what do we know? These letters are given to someone, I believe that this letter was given to Demetrius to take to Gaius. But it's also, who are you receiving the letter from? Because you know that they'd have seals on these things, so if they broke the seal, somebody read it. But back then, these guys may not have sealed them, but they gave it to a person who's entrusted. Okay? Not everybody had seals and all those special things. Those kings and all. Not everyone had those kind of things. Maybe it was wax, maybe it broke, whatever. But you give it to a person that you trust. Okay? You know that is solid. I'm not going to give things to people to do something that I don't trust them. The same thing for you, right? Right? And I believe this letter was entrusted to Demetrius. Even though the truth itself, and we also speak well of him. Listen, he's got our authority. He's the one that got it. And you know our testimony is true. And so we know most likely this letter was given to Demetrius to give to Gaius. And he says 13, I have many things to write to you, but I don't want to write to you with pen and ink. Sometimes we think that's just a nothing line. It's a filler space for a letter to make it longer. No, that was an important piece. What he's really saying is, I just want to be with you guys. I do have a lot of things I want to share. I just don't want to write them down. I want to say it to your face. I want to see the white. I want to see your eyes. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I love you so much. I just want to be with you guys. He says, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Is there a person right now that you can think of that you haven't talked to and seen for a long time, and maybe they live far away, and you'd love to see them face to face? Yeah. Or maybe it's a loved one right now that's passed on, and you're like, man, I can't wait. When my time is done on this earth, I want to see them face to face. Or as you get older, you'll have more. You'll have more. I have several that I can't wait to see face to face. But even in this world today, there's some people that I haven't seen for a long time. And I've seen some family members over this last month that I haven't seen for a long time. And it was so awesome to see face to face. Don't take your family for granted. For no one's promised tomorrow. And we do take time for granted. But he says, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. He says, peace to you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. You can't write a letter like this unless you know someone very, very well. You can't send a letter like this to someone that you don't write a letter, you don't send a letter, you don't speak about these things to someone that you don't know very well. You send them to someone that you love and respect. You send them someone who's living out the example like this, and I believe that the Lord just allowed us to have this letter to look into it, to look and dive into something personal in someone's life. You know, today we can turn on the TV and we can see people get awards and we can see their acknowledgments for what they've done, and we can go to school functions and we can see what kids have been awarded, and there'll be a group of 300-500 people. There'll be maybe even people on TV would see someone get an award and they're commended for the great job that they did, or maybe it's not just for movies, or maybe it's something in the political world, maybe it's something great that they did, all those things. But it seemed like there was a limit to all that. There's in that time frame and forgotten. In that time frame and forgotten. This letter here continues to go. It continues to build people. It continues to share what someone did. This letter continues to keep going and giving, offering us and opening a door to what it is really like to be commended for following the ways of the Lord. So my question is really, if someone was writing a letter to you, what would they say? If a person was writing a letter about you, to you, about how you are living, we would probably want to say, don't judge me, right? What would they say? The letter is written by John. The letter was written to Gaius, mentioned a few other names. But also, on the other side of it, what is it like to receive a letter like this? What is it like for Gaius to receive a letter like this? Do you think it made him prideful and boastful? No. Probably didn't want to. No, wanted other people to read it. But what did it do for him? It was encouragement for him. It was a staple in his life to knowing some days when he woke up, he was probably thinking, am I doing it right? Am I doing my life right? He might even be thinking, yeah, but I messed up on this day and messed up on that day. I did this or I did that. It came with great commending him for how he's living his life as a believer. It came with came in the letter about something that's not going great in the church, but also came with, you keep on going. Keep living out the truth. Keep living it out. I don't know what kind of year you had, but if it was a good year, keep doing what you were doing. If God blessed you through the year, keep doing it. And if you didn't live for the Lord and wasn't a great year, you can change that by turning back to God. If a letter was written to you and about you, would you be ashamed of anyone reading it? That's one thing I don't see here, is Gaius being ashamed to read this letter. All I know is that there is words being written about us. In heaven, the Bible says there are many books, many books. Many books. I believe more books than all the libraries of the world. Every person has a book. Every book has a name. Of course, there is the book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And that book is specifically for those who have asked Jesus Christ and have salvation. It is the promise. Those are the ones who have life, eternal life. But there's also on how we lived our life. How we served, what we did, what we didn't do in serving, and all those kind of things. I pray what is being written for you is what you would be proud of, not to be ashamed of. Because the Bible says that we will all stand before God and give an account. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's the number one place that you don't want to be embarrassed. Gaius had a great start with the letter. His challenge was to keep going. If you're living your life for Jesus, keep going. Keep moving into the new year. Keep moving into the new year. Keep moving into the new year. Don't think about the negatives and the things where you slip. Pray over those and work it out with the Lord and keep doing good. If your life wasn't right before God, you need to get it right. I can't get it right for you. No one can get it right before you except you going to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for an opportunity just to put our face into a letter, Lord, that was written so many years ago to a man named Gaius on how he lived his life. Lord, we reflect now on how we're living our life. How we live our life before you and how we live our life as others see. For Lord, it's not us who all testify, it's what others are testifying about how we're living our life. And I pray for each one here today that they're living their life in the right way, the godly way, the Christian way. But Lord, if there are those here today that are not living in the right way, not in the godly way, Lord, if they need you as their Savior, I pray, Father, that they would receive you today. If one or more is here today that have a relationship with you, but Lord, that relationship is very, very damaged, Lord. It is very strained right now because they're not living and not doing the good in the life, Lord, as they were in the past. I pray for them today. I lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.